You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It's Thursday, November 1st. Ethan here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at eturnerff_pt for all your NFL injury and fantasy news. You can find the main page for this show on Twitter at ffb_247. If you're new with us here today for the first time, I want to thank you for checking out the show. Make sure that you are subscribed to us on iTunes because we are dropping brand new episodes Monday through Thursday every week during the NFL season. While you're over on iTunes, make sure that you subscribe to the show and don't forget to get entered to win a signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Make sure you leave your Twitter handle or email on your review so that we can get in touch with the winner when we give this bad boy away. We have got a great show today, guys. We're going to go through our Thursday night football preview as well as start sits and, of course, the last injury update of the week. As always, on Thursday's show, we are joined by some of the best in the fantasy industry. This week, we have Ryan Searfoss, who is a writer for goingfor2.com and dominatefantasy.com, and one of the hosts of the Armchair Fantasy Show. Check him out on Twitter at FNTSYFB Connect. Ryan, how are we doing, man?
Good, man. How about yourselves? Great to be on.
I'm doing good. It's crazy that we're already into November. It just seems like the entire month of October just kind of flew by. I'm wrapping up school right now, so I'm really hitting into the thick of things. And of course, you know, fantasy football is right in the thick of the fantasy season. It's make or break right now.
It really is. It's that time, like, where you're deciding what teams you're paying more attention to and where to move on and whatnot. It's kind of great.
Yeah, it is nice to kind of, to especially when Dynasty, where you're looking at, okay, what do I need to make a run, or am I building up for next season? All right, before we dive into the Thursday night game, real quick, I just because it's so relevant right now, I wanted to get your opinion on who the big fantasy winners of the trade deadline were. Are any of the guys who got traded or are left from a trade really sticking out to you right now?
I mean, top guy has to be Courtland Sutton. Denver showed that they trust him by letting Demaryius Thomas go, and they that he's going to be their top guy going forward. Emmanuel Sanders is a slot guy, so that number one alpha receiver is their first-round pick, Sutton. I think he's the biggest beneficiary, and I think it says a lot from the team's perspective for him.
Yeah, and we mentioned that on Tuesday's show with Debro that, you know, that it's not like they didn't invest in this guy. They put a top 40 pick into him in the draft this year, and I think he really caught on faster than maybe even they were expecting. So I think Sutton is a great choice. I think Sutton's one of those guys that could really break out this season as both a dynasty and a redraft kind of late season. Really gives you some really good weeks here coming up. So let's dive into tonight's game, and oh, man. Do we have an absolute doozy here? The 1-6 Raiders head into San Francisco to face the 1-7 49ers. Obviously, both of these teams are looking to vie for the top overall draft pick in next year's draft. Ryan, let's talk first about the quarterback matchup, man. Derek Carr versus CJ Beathard. In a week where we have Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, this is the first matchup of the week. And doesn't it sound like a marquee matchup to you? Derek Carr is actually throwing for the highest completion percentage of his career. He's averaging nearly 30 yards a game better than his career best. Meanwhile, CJ Beathard is coming off two straight games of less than 191 yards passing. Ryan, do you like either of these guys in fantasy this week as a QB2?
Weirdly enough, I feel like they're both decent streaming quarterbacks. Raiders are 22nd and 49ers are 21st against the pass. They're both giving up around 260 yards a game. We just saw Carr off the best game of his career with Amari Cooper gone, so kind of trending up for him. If I'm in a pinch, I wouldn't be too upset having to stream them. I'd probably play Beathard over Carr, though, just because he has a few more weapons around him with Goodwin and Kittle.
Yeah, we're going to definitely get into those weapons. But first, let's go to the running backs here. Obviously, Marshawn Lynch heading to the IR has created kind of a committee backfield in Oakland with Doug Martin and Jalen Richard kind of taking over for him there. Richard actually leads the team with 39 receptions, while Martin's coming off a week where he had 89 total yards, but a really costly fumble there. On the 49ers side, you've got the trio, man, Matt Breida, who can't stay healthy, Alfred Morris, and Raheem Mostert. Ryan, do you feel like any of those running backs is worth a lineup spot this week?
I'm actually, before I hit that, Breida, he's all go this week, correct?
He's questionable for the game. I'll get into it into the injury section a little bit, but I'm not totally convinced that he will play tonight. I think that at some point they have to let him get healthy, but he seems to just kind of tough it out no matter what. So he probably thinks he's going to play, and I'm sure that he's going to give it a shot, but I don't know how effective he's going to be.
I mean, if Breida's in there, I'm probably starting my one league because he has some value. He's had double-digit carries his last three starts. He's had three receptions in two of those games, so they're giving him volume, and they seem to prefer him over the other backs there. With us being in bye week hell, and you have to throw him in there, he could be somebody who's worth it. And with the Raiders, I like Jalen Richard. Last 2 weeks, he's led the team in targets with 8 apiece. Obviously, he's PPR only for starting him, but I don't really know too many people play standard anymore. So I like him there. And Doug Martin, it was an 89-yard performance. That was great last week, but I don't know how much I want to trust out of him. And that's only 8 points because he doesn't really give you any receiving value.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that with Martin, you're really hoping for a touchdown in a standard league. Richard and Breida seem to be the two guys that if you need a spot start because you're really hurting from the bye weeks, you could do worse, I guess. I like Richard a little bit more than Breida this week just because he's healthy. Breida just, I don't know, man. I just feel like every week something happens to Matt Breida, and I feel like he's kind of the walking wounded at this point. So I'm not sure if I really trust starting him. Next up, we're going to the wide receivers. And again, pretty ugly on both sides. Jordy Nelson actually co-leads the Raiders with 3 touchdowns on the year, but is only averaging 48 yards a game. On the 49ers side, you at least have Marquise Goodwin, who does have 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games, but is only averaging around 4 targets a game in those contests. Do either of these guys, or maybe somebody like a Pierre Garçon, have any flex appeal for you?
Not really. I'm not really jazzed. I'm not starting any of these receivers. It's all kind of gross. If I had to start somebody, it'd probably be Goodwin just because he has that high ceiling. We know he can break big plays, and it's not like the Raiders can stop anybody. So I'd probably lean his way, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Goodwin's the best option of those guys, but I'm probably staying away from all these guys at this point. Last up here is the tight end position, which is arguably the most relevant position for this matchup in terms of fantasy purposes. You've got 2 weekly tight end, 1 upside plays, and Jared Cook and George Kittle going at it. Do you expect these guys to kind of continue that trend of being a top 5 or even top 10 fantasy option this week?
George Kittle, you just plant him in there now. He's kind of hitting that one of those few tight ends who you can just put him in your lineup and not worry about him. It's kind of great. I can thank Willie for turning me on to Kittle. I have him anywhere I could draft him this year. So I'm completely confident with him. And it's not like Oakland's doing anything special against tight ends. They're giving up 60 yards a game to the position. San Francisco's not much better against tight end. They're still middle of the road. So I'd be comfortable with Cook as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Tight end is one of those positions that's just, it was shallow to begin the year. And now with all the injuries and everything, I mean, at this point, you're totally happy with what Jared Cook and George Kittle are giving you. All right, before we get into Ryan starts and sits, I've got to tell you guys about swap.com. Isn't it crazy to think about how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used name brand clothes? Well, you're in luck because swap.com does just that. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% on name brands like Nike, Lululemon, Carter's, J. Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns for 30 days. Of course, we have a special offer for our listeners. You can get 35% off select items with promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for 35% off select orders. All right, heading back into our starts and sits for week 9. Ryan, who are 2 guys that you're locking into your lineups this week?
First one, I'm going to go a little deeper this year. He's kind of let everybody down constantly. That's Duke Johnson. They have a new regime, and we don't know what to expect out of Cleveland now with Hugh gone and Haley gone. But Kansas City has been giving up 70 receiving yards a game up to the running back position, which just speaks to Duke Johnson and what he can do. I know he's been underperforming all this year. This could be the type of game with a negative game script and a team that doesn't really guard the running backs where he can have a nice breakout and perform and give you some sort of value at the position. The other guy I have is John Brown. He's been one of the top air yard receivers in the league. He does have a ton of volume, but Flacco loves throwing deep to him. And the Steelers have been pretty bad at covering deep routes this year. They gave up 3 for 116, a touchdown against Brown earlier in the season. And I think he has another opportunity to have a big game and a bounce back.
Yeah, I totally agree on both those guys. I love Duke Johnson in this matchup. I think with a new offensive coordinator, a new scheme, I hope at least that we see a lot more Duke Johnson, because I feel like if we look at the fantasy landscape, he's definitely a guy that has been criminally underused this season. As for John Brown, man, you've been touting him to me on Twitter all offseason. You said, John Brown, he's the guy. You want to get John Brown, and you have been absolutely right on that one. John Brown has been an absolute stud, lots of air yards. And is there really a better quarterback wide receiver fit right now on that team than John Brown and Joe Flacco, who just likes to just grip it and rip it with the ball down the field? And John Brown is just running. I mean, here's the thing with Brown. He's getting targets, but he only needs one to give you a good fantasy week. He only needs one big play. So I like both those guys. Moving on to some guys that you are absolutely staying away from. Who are a few guys that you are leaving on the pine in week 9? See that rhyme right there? Just so you know.
That was I good. Like that. First guy I'm fading this week is Mitch Trubisky. He's played fantastic this year. I'm not taking away anything from him because he's exceeded everybody's expectations for that second year bounce back. But playing a Bills defense who is much, much better than most people have given credit for. They're sixth against the pass in the league. They create turnovers. Plus the fact that they're not going to have to pass much for Chicago. And I think it's going to be a bad fantasy matchup for Trubisky. Everything is just pointing in the wrong direction for him. Other guy I have is Marvin Jones against the Vikings. He's going to be pulling Xavier Rhodes. I know that it's kind of a 1A, 1B thing there with him and Galladay now that Tate's gone, but Jones is the proven receiver. He's probably going to get the cover, especially off the enormous game he had last week. Rhodes has shut down the majority of guys he's faced this year. In fact, Minnesota's their third best. They're guarding the league's number one receivers right now. They're giving up 47 yards a game. So I am going to fade Marvin Jones this week.
Yeah, I totally agree on both those guys. I think you're spot on with Trubisky, and the game script is just, it's not going to be his game. Hopefully, as somebody that owns a ton of Jordan Howard, they're just going to kind of stuff the ball down the Bills' gullet right here with this one. I mean, they're not going to have to pass as much. As for Marvin Jones, I think he's going to be a popular play in DFS lineups. Definitely going to have a lot of hype without Tate there. But you're totally right. Xavier Rhodes is going to shut him down. And if he doesn't, the rest of that defense is definitely going to kind of zone in and make the second-year player, Kenny Galladay, kind of beat them. And I'm not sure if Galladay is up to that challenge yet. Obviously, a lot of hype for both those guys. All right, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Ryan, go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find your work.
You can find me at goingfor2.com. I do the Armchair Fantasy Football Podcast, co-host that on Tuesdays. I do the waiver wires for them on Tuesday as well. Normally try to get it out by Monday night before the games start, though. And then you can find me at Dominate Fantasy Football. And you can find me, Ryan Searfoss, at Fantasy FB Connect on Twitter.
Thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate you coming on, and we really enjoyed it. All right, before we get into injuries this week, I have got a business opportunity for our listeners. If your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, there is no better way than to advertise with us right here on the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcasts. I can tell you firsthand that we have some of the best listeners in the world. Did you know that on average, podcast listeners have more education and are earning more than traditional media audiences? To have your company sponsor this podcast, reach out to us on Twitter at FFB_247 so that we can help you grow your company today. All right, on to injuries. We are going to go through all of these really quick. Dalvin Cook is back practicing in a limited fashion on Wednesday. I still feel like the best move here is to sit Cook this week and give him another full 2 weeks until after the team's week 10 bye. I still think we look at we look back on that decision in week four on that Thursday night game where the team decided to play him instead of giving him a full 10 days rest. And you have to wonder what the team was really thinking there. Obviously, he leaves that game in the first half and really has not seen the field much since. Hopefully, the team plays it safe this time and gets Dalvin Cook back to 100% before they put him out there. Cook's teammate, Stephon Diggs, did not practice on Wednesday with a rib injury. Depending on the severity of the injury, Diggs could sit out on Sunday. This one will likely come down to the wire, but my gut says that he plays, but you all also have to have kind of a backup plan in place. Speaking of backup plans, Mike Evans also missed practice on Wednesday with a knee injury. He is coming off a huge game with a season-high 179 yards on 6 catches. With Fitzmagic returning, Evans could see a big usage increase if he does, in fact, play on Sunday. But at this point, I think fantasy gamers need to have a backup plan in place. Cooper Kupp is back practicing after the MCL sprain he suffered in week 7. I think there's a pretty good chance that we see Kupp return this week. Definitely going to put him in a few lineups here for the touchdown upside in that high-powered Rams offense. Michael Thomas popped up on the injury report with a shoulder injury. He did manage to get a limited practice in on Wednesday, so there's not a huge cause for concern. If he does manage to get downgraded later in the week, that's going to raise a bunch of red flags for us. Obviously, you don't like to see when a player goes from limited practice to no practice. So you have to make sure that you are watching that as well. Speaking of red flags, Allen Robinson still has not returned to practice after missing last week with a groin strain. I think there's a pretty good chance that Robinson misses this game, which sets up Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen, and even possibly a sneaky touchdown play here with Anthony Miller, who all of those guys should be in for big workloads this week if Robinson does in fact sit. Matt Breida, we talked about on the show, is considered questionable for tonight's game with an ankle injury. I said earlier that I think the wise move here is to let him sit, but Breida has been playing through pretty much every injury under the sun. I think he still plays, and I think he lets you down if you start him in fantasy. Last guy up here, we have Sony Michel, who got another limited practice in this week after practicing last Saturday. He missed the Monday night game with that knee injury that he's been dealing with from a few weeks ago. It did look pretty bad at the time, but it ended up checking out okay with MRI. I do think he ends up returning this week against the Packers in what should be an absolute barn burner of a game. All right, as always, make sure you're following me on Twitter for daily injury updates at eturnerff_pt. Make sure you follow the show page at ff_247. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes to get entered into that Earl Campbell Hall of Fame jersey giveaway. For Fantasy Football 24/7, Ethan Turner signing off.